You're listening to the FQXI podcast. If you're a regular listener, you'll know that this is the third and final part of our trilogy of podcasts this December, in which, among other things, we're counting down the biggest physics news stories of 2013, as picked out by physicist and FQXI member Ian Durham of St. Anselm College, New Hampshire.
Yes, it's part three. I'm torn between calling it Ian Durham and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Or, a classic here, FQXI Hard 3. FQXI Hard with a Vengeance.
Well, since there are no prisons mentioned in the discussion of his top two items, but there is a lot of violent retribution, let's go with the latter. So, without further ado, here is Ian Durham's choice for the physics advance that just misses out on the top spot. Okay, so now, number two, and we're sort of saying goodbye to something here. So tell us more about that.
Well, I wouldn't say we're saying goodbye to it. We're opening the door and waving.
What a lovely way of thinking about things. You're a much happier, more optimistic person than I am, but explain more.
I don't know. So this year marked officially, it took some debate about whether this actually happened, but Voyager 1 left the solar system. Well, there's some argument that Voyager 2 has also left the solar system, but the point is that we made a decision this year that based on the data we were getting from the Voyager spacecraft, that at least one of them, possibly both of them, were no longer in the solar system, that they had passed outside of the range of where the solar wind meets interstellar space, which is roughly what we define as being the solar system. And that's just amazing, because we have a human, something created by humans, a material thing created by humans. Because obviously we've been broadcasting radio waves into outer space for a century. We now have something that we crafted with our own hands. I mean, heck, it's got a record on it. A gold record with Carl Sagan and stuff talking. This thing is now outside of our solar system. And that is just amazing on so many levels. The other mind-blowing thing about it is that these things are still working.
Right, yes, that's right, yeah.
They were launched when, I was 3 years old, and I no longer have any hair on my head. The little hair I have is gray, and these things are still working, and we're able to communicate with it. And they're so far away, that, and I can't remember the exact number, I believe they're so far away that it's round-trip communication is something like 25 hours or something like that, moving at the speed of light. That's how far away these things are. They're just phenomenally far away.
And just to give you some more stats, so I've got this from New Scientist magazine. It says that Voyager 1 has enough nuclear fuel to keep doing science through to 2025, which is, again, very impressive. And on its current trajectory, the probe should eventually end up within 1.5 light years of a star in Camelopardalis, which is a lovely name, a northern constellation that looks like a cross between a giraffe and a camel.
And what I find interesting, too, is that, you know, we've discovered exoplanets. This was another possibility of putting this on the list, but we've discovered exoplanets floating around out there that are not orbiting a star. They're just kind of rogue exoplanets floating around in interstellar space. And we can see some of them because, you know, they give off a dull infrared radiation. But, you know, maybe there's one that we haven't seen and maybe Voyager will bump into it. Who knows? It'd be kind of interesting.
Right. So there were a couple of other sort of spacey kind of cosmology, planetary sort of stories and results that you might have wanted to mention.
Yes, that didn't make my list. It seems like every other day there's some new result coming back from Mars. Believe me, I don't want to minimize this stuff, but you know, the big thing is they're looking for evidence of life on Mars, and they have sort of incrementally been able to nail down that Mars once had a wet climate, and they found this year building blocks of life, certain molecules that are required for life to actually exist. The reason it didn't make my top five is because, again, it's incremental progress. come back to me when you find life. That's what I, or evidence of life, fossilized life.
You want a Martian. That's what you want.
I want a Martian. Right. Yeah, I want a little green man. But the point is what they're looking for now is they're looking for something that is incontrovertible, that this is evidence that life either currently exists in a microbial form or did exist at one time on Mars. And when they find that, then it'll make my top five.
And what about the Planck data release? So the Planck satellite gave out its first release of kind of cosmological findings. So, you know, there was a lot of attention paid to that. It got a lot of inches in newspapers. So why are we not adding that to the list?
Well, a couple of reasons. Again, I think so. From a purely scientific standpoint, it's a great result. And it's very important. It further nails down the age of the universe. In fact, it actually extends it a little bit in the sense that we used to think the universe was 13.7 billion years old, and now the Planck data suggests it's 13.82 billion years old. But again, to me, the Planck data, while certainly important, and this is very important in science, you have to have these incremental verifications of existing theories. To me, it wasn't like a huge leap forward. These other things I mentioned, like going from 2 seconds to 39 seconds with the quantum state, or coming up with a partial proof of the twin primes conjecture when there was nothing up until now for a century, or the first human-made object to actually physically leave the solar system. Those are things that are just so... they're just so much above the level of what Planck did in the sense of they're almost paradigm shifting kind of things. Not quite, but you know, they're almost that way.
Right, we're finally here. We're at number one on your list. So go ahead and reveal the top story in physics and foundational research of 2013.
This will probably give me away as being a child of the 70s and 80s. My number one for this year, and I'm purely biased because of just my childhood, is the discovery of photonic matter, meaning lightsabers. I wouldn't go quite that far, but this is pretty amazing. Some researchers at Harvard and MIT were able to make molecules of photons, which is just insane. How do you do that? Just wrapping your head around how do you make something out of photons? Because photons are the quantum particle of light. It's hard to wrap your head around the fact that you could take two particles of light and actually get them to interact in some way. Because in the universe, there are four fundamental interactions: gravity, electromagnetism, the strong nuclear force, and the weak nuclear force. Each of those, in the standard model of particle physics, each of those interactions is mediated by what's called a boson. The way I usually tell my students, the boson is kind of like the mailman going back and forth between two fermions that are exchanging information. So the bosons are constantly going back and forth, shuttling information back and forth between these things. So the bosons are the mediators of the interactions. And it's not that we haven't seen other bosons interact in their own right, but how do you get two photons to actually interact? And if they do, what's the mediator? And what's the force or the interaction that's going on there that causes them to behave this way? It's a fascinating look. But then on the practical side, it's also interesting from the standpoint of maybe we can actually get lightsabers, and I could have a lightsaber. I could be a Jedi Knight. But I think from the foundation standpoint, it's a huge paradigm shift. It's a new state of matter. And there's going to have to be all sorts of theoretical work, I think, done to figure out what this means.
Well then, sorry to disappoint you, but while I was sort of looking through this, I guess officially they're saying that they haven't started to try to make lightsabers yet, although We don't know why not, but, you know, maybe that's just the official story. Maybe unofficially there's some kind of military lightsaber unit there, and maybe you'll get one soon, Ian.
I'm sure that there is a military lightsaber out there already, and yes, I'll apply for some DARPA funding, but yeah, oh well.
I don't think many would argue with you on your number one choice there. I think that was something that excited, you know, even people, and there are such people, believe it or not, who aren't really that interested in foundational physics. So I think it's probably a good choice with a great wide appeal there.
That was another reason I picked it, because things like Voyager. Voyager inspires a lot of people, but there are also people who just shrug their shoulders and say, what good is it? What is it going to do? You know, that's a waste of taxpayer money, blah, 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 which, of course, I disagree with, but there are people who will say that. If you want to emphasize the importance, this is another area where Sean Carroll and I disagree a little bit. So he's of the opinion that we should get people to appreciate foundational work simply for its own purpose, and that foundational should be appreciated by the general public just for being foundational. While I agree that it should be, that we should appreciate foundational research simply because it's important for us as a species to ask these introspective questions, the reality is that we live in a world where increasingly science in general gets the short end of the stick in many respects, in the sense that even though we live in a highly technological society, we live in a society that increasingly can't understand that technology. And if you want to reach people and you want to emphasize the importance of these things, you have to cross over a little bit to their world and you have to appeal to them. And something like this, where you've got something that appeals to people who may not be into space stuff, may not be into adventure for its own sake, but they think, wow, a lightsaber. Holy cow, that is cool, right? Then you might actually get some people to say, oh, maybe there's some worth in this quantum stuff and this foundational stuff, and maybe all this studies of the universe might actually have a purpose.
So, there we have it. The top physics story of 2013 is the invention, kind of the Star Wars lightsaber.
You know, I don't think he really needed to say much more than that. That's something everyone would get excited about. And you see, I was right to call him Darth Durham. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then please go and download part one of the December podcast trilogy at www.fqxi.org/community/podcast and find out what that reference is all about. Download it right now.
You did indeed choose the right trilogy, Brendan, the first time round. Though I'm not sure Ian will take kindly to being identified with Darth Vader.
Oh, we all turn to the dark side eventually.
On that ominous note, we will leave you and wish you a happy new year. Thank you to Avi Loeb and Dean Astumian.
And to Ian Skywalker Durham.
He's been Brendan Foster.
And she's been Zia Morali.